Can you hear me fine? Hello? Hello? That doesn't bode well.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Watch out, my motor, swindle the promoter, talk the lunatics for a ride. And a little voice inside my head says, Rosemary!
Welcome to another NeedCoffee.com podcast. This is the Weekend Justice, and we are assembled here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League. On the call with us this evening, we have Scott C., our Minister of Naughty Bits. Hello, Scott.
Fuck you all.
That's typical. Well, and a goal for Scott, actually.
Can we have a second take of that where he actually tries to do it with a little more feeling?
It's too damn cool to have any feelings.
Once more with feeling!
Remember, hold the all with the emotion. Don't let it taper off like that. You want to try it again?
No.
Because you went sort of like, fuck you, aw.
Ken is the expert on telling people to fuck off.
So, Scott, would you like to try again?
He's coached thousands.
I have a clapboard here.
Come on. Come on, short.
Better sweet. Than just having the clap.
Come on, Scott, you can do it.
That's not working. I think I just broke it.
Scott, aim your anger.
Ow. No, you got to say it when people aren't talking over you.
When is that?
Good call. And that brings us to, of course, Ken is here with us, who is pushing his new self-help book on how to tell people to fuck off. How are you, Ken?
Fuck off.
See? That's perfect. Rob is here, our Minister of Music, who is on duty. How are you, Rob?
Well, hello.
Howdy. And we have Rox, our artist in residence and roving reporter, is here as well. Hi, Rox.
It's cold in the hall. Please add another log onto the fire.
Did you hear that, Scott? Go for it.
Scott's on wood duty?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, after last week's podcast, sure, why not?
we recorded last week's podcast live from the Bermuda Triangle, which is why we don't have it. We just chalk it up to sunspots and leave it at that.
Yeah, he was a poor member of the New Mutants.
Especially after Gideon got a hold of him.
Ugh.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. That was me on Marvel right after I left. So,
you have an agenda for this one?
Of course, I don't have an agenda for this one. I'm just throwing it over.
Are we going to try and recreate the last one?
No, fuck no. Why would we do that?
That's
just Stomper Charlie Brown.
That's just lost genius. That's all.
That was truly lost genius.
Yes.
You talked about Lost.
Speaking of which, it starts again tonight.
Does it? Is anyone still watching it?
I am.
No.
Really?
No, you're not.
Well, no. Not currently at this moment. No, you're correct.
So Rob and John are watching it. Are you both watching it out of you like the show, or is it like, you know, that those couple of years you were picking up Green Lantern, even though it sucked because it was just a habit, or what is it?
I'll let Rob take this one.
I think it's more just to see the curiosities of how they're going to ride around all this stuff, this weird stuff that's thrown in, and see how they're going to try to sort of, you know, fiddle with all the teases they've thrown people just to see, you know, what creative ways they think of to ride out of it. So
they're not. So it's they're not going to deal with any of that. You're going to still be watching 10 years from now when it's after Lost and they're working in a veterans hospital in the Midwest.
Well, it'll still be better than most of the other TV on.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not British.
You're one of the people that support
well done, John.
Like J.J. Abrams.
Well, let me just...
This is actually the first thing Abrams has ever done that I've actually watched. I didn't watch the other thing with Electra, but...
That's
that'd be Alias.
Yeah.
No, that's Electra.
Yeah, whatever. I would like to clarify that Electra is not a costume worn by Scott.
Would you like to clarify the costumes that have been worn by Scott?
No.
You know, just for your
I'll just
pleasure.
Have to direct everyone. I'll just direct everyone to costumes that have been worn by Scott.blogspot.com.
Hold
yeah.
on. I'm registering that.
No, that's already owned by the Mickey Faust Company, so you can't have that.
Make sure you put up a picture of him in the Captain Kangaroo costume.
Well, let me say this in the defense of Lost.
Please do.
To get off the awkward subject of Scott and drag. The
Captain Kangaroo was a drag. I will defend that.
Hang on. Rob, what's up?
Well, if we're going to go ahead and cast Captain Kangaroo, I think Tuffley would make a mighty nice dancing bear.
We don't really need to know about your dreams, Rob.
Actually, I was thinking more of I immediately went to the bear from The Shining.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good, too.
I thought you'd go more toughly Mr. Green Jeans.
So yeah. Was it... Yeah. Who actually read The Shining?
I did.
I read
actually.
It.
I did.
So was that bear, the guy in the bear outfit, actually in the book?
I think that was Stanley Kubrick, so no, that was not actually in the book.
No, I think the only description in the book, if I remember correctly, was just that there was some animal costumes, because it was a costume party, wasn't it?
So it was Stanley Kubrick. Time. So it was Stanley Kubrick that started furrydom.
Sorry.
Not Stephen King.
Is this part of some kind of paper you've been writing? You've been tracking the rise of furrydom?
No, you're the one who brought up the bear costume.
No, actually, that was Rob.
Well, actually, that was me.
Anyway, so back to Lost.
Just like this podcast.
Yes, quite lost. So anyway, so John, you were going to defend Abrams? Is that where we were?
Well, I was going to defend Lost, and I can see how if anybody watched the first season, which was pretty damn awesome, I thought. And then went into the second season, and then even most of the third season, I can see where people left off and decide, well, you know what, this is a waste of my time. I'm having, you know, it's just a waste. They just keep redoing everything over and over and over again.
You mean when the writers started living up to the title of the show?
Yes, exactly. Well, here's my theory on this, because, and I've said this before.
I will be quick to counteract your theory, but go ahead.
That once the network finally gave them an endpoint, the writing became more crisp and had more of a focus. And I would say that the ever since that point, the show has moved forward and hasn't really looked back and has gotten better every week, as far as I'm concerned.
So you're saying it was the network not giving them an endpoint that made for shit writing?
Yes, I do think that's the case. Well, I'm one of the people that actually believes the writers and the producers when they say that we do have everything mapped out and we know where this ends.
I can tell you, without a doubt, knowing someone who worked on the writing staff of Lost, that's a lie.
Wow.
They did not know shit where shit was going. They were completely
and that was kind of the same thing with Alias.
Was that pre or post the announcement of you've got 7 seasons and then we're ending it?
Both. They never knew where the hell they were.
I thought they had 5. When did 7 pop?
No, this is 5 now, right? This is 5 now.
Yes, I believe this is 5.
Yeah. Hang on. Rob was trying to chime in. What you got, Rob?
Oh, I was just thinking 5.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they.
Oh, well, by the way, that is.
They had never had a clue. It was. And to be somewhat fair, not that I don't want to, because I do loathe him so. It's not so much Abrams, even though as the executive producer, he should have had a handle on things. It's really, you know, Damon Lindelof and the other fuckwit that don't know what the hell they're doing as well.
Oh, and by the way, let me just interject because I got out of order. I normally go in order of the people who are showing up on my screen because I have the, as everyone knows, the attention span of like a blind bat. But that is, of course, John from the Unique Geek who is on the boards for us. Hi, John. Didn't mean to leave you out.
Oh, well, I figured I assumed it was penance I had to pay.
No. Lord, you're dealing with Ken. That's enough.
The penance you're going to have to pay is wearing that iron spike suit.
It's like our nanny.
And if I can say, I finally got to the end of Secret Invasion before Dark Reign or whatever. God, that thing is a piece of crap.
You didn't buy it, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Why?
Yeah, Dark Reign. I liked it when it was President Lex.
Good point. Again,
you liked it when it was President Lex, but that's a problem too.
Well, I'm making the joke that it's this. It's essentially.
I think the joke President is that you Luther. Actually read President Lex as well.
Yeah, the joke is on you and your pocketbook, or wallet, or whatever.
Why did you buy Secret Invasion? You're part of the problem, John. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
The problem is this. The problem
you didn't
is
buy the... Final Crisis, did you?
No.
What is that hesitation?
No, I actually got Final Crisis checked out from the library on in a graphic novel format.
Wait, what?
Yes.
It just wrapped up. How did you get it checked out in the library?
Well, I meant when it started, the beginning of it, whatever it was called, and I just couldn't follow it, so
I don't buy this.
No, it's about a year. It started about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I
was
know.
It Final Crisis or Crisis on Infinite Earths? Was that what it was? Or what? I forget which one it was.
One of those crises. Yeah,
John?
Yes. John? I stopped following DC.
This does bring up a really interesting point, in that I think it's amazing how quickly libraries like made this left-hand turn into getting graphic novels in their collection for people to get.
Oh, no kidding. I got the whole Fallen Sun for the whole that whole line with Captain America at the beginning of the Civil War stuff. It was already in the library, like the day it came out on. Well, not the day, but you know that week that it came out in graphic novel form as well.
Well, that's anything to try and bring people in.
I mean, we're always looking for new, you know, stuff to come into our
lives. What audience are you trying to bring in then? If you're bringing in shit comics.
Well, the kids that are just browsing because it all goes into.
Oh yeah, yeah, because Secret Invasion is aimed towards kids.
Hey, our library is actually bringing in, you know, crappy manga. So
even less so, Final Crisis.
And I believe that's called Kranga.
I like that.
I'm actually curious, Rox. What audience are you trying to bring in? Because kids are not reading comics, and the comics are not being made for kids, so I can't see how...
No, well, most of the people that wind up buying or checking the books out in our library, it's pretty much older adults.
So really, shame-faced adults like John, who can't justify buying the crap anymore but can't break their addiction.
That's correct.
Well, not necessarily. I think you can find something in a graphic novel that you've heard about, and just like, I want to read and see what this is about and check it out. And it's a good template against what might or might not be other good things that you like out there. I don't have the time or the money to go out and buy comics on a regular basis, so being able to go to a library and get a graphic novel, read 5 pages of it, go and know that it's going to be something I didn't spend my money on. It's like, okay, it's crap, great. I'm not obligated. I'm not out to 15 or 16 bucks that I would be out if I bought it.
What makes you think you're going to be surprised and actually find they're putting out something good?
Sometimes.
Name the last time.
The last really kind of cool thing I ended up liking was the first, like, 3 or 4 of the new Avengers.
Oh, no, we made sure we had a lot of...
No, actually, I will say this. The new Avengers worked. but they screwed themselves because let me tell you how New Avengers worked. New Avengers worked for me because they finally managed to do some variation on what DC has been doing with Justice League all along. When they veer away from it is when they start fucking themselves. But basically, they never had a book that was all the Marvel big guns in a team. And even if you had the Avengers...
Yeah, they did. It was called they called the Defenders.
Oh, yeah, please.
Those are not... Yeah, of course, you're thinking of the...
I love how just for an instant, your mind automatically tried to take that as a valid argument.
No, no, actually, my mind, sadly enough, even sadder than what you're accusing my mind of doing, ran down through the roster of the Defenders, actually calling it up in my mind in official handbook of the Marvel Universe style, and then ran through it backwards to see...
And then addressed all of the costume changes the Angel went through during that period.
Because there's no... I don't have enough bandwidth in my head to handle that, okay? So...
Maybe you need to get a bigger pipe in there.
It's like being on a podcast with Michael Bailey.
Who is that supposed to make sense to?
John.
It makes sense to me. Maybe Rox. There you
go. Okay. Yeah. Well, that one was for you guys. Take it home.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Whoa, hold it.
What?
I'm enjoying the moment. Okay, go on.
All right.
We weren't. Why would you stop it?
It's not all about you, Ken.
That's the whole point. Anyway, no, I thought it worked for that reason, but then of course all of Marveldom got sucked into event mania, and then it was gone. And what killed me is that they were using the same conceits in New Avengers that they were in Ultimates. And so it's like, are you guys actually reading each other's books? Of course, the answer is no.
No.
But it was just very sad. And like the thing that killed me about Secret Invasion was, concept-wise, high-level concept, not, hey, I've got a great idea, let's take a bunch of a small group of people alone with nobody knowing where we're going and try to storm the Skrull homeworld. What the fuck? But the whole concept of turning Skrulls into actual, you know, shape-changing covert agents rather than guys who use laser guns all the time sounds like a great idea, and I hope one day somebody who can pull it off does something with it. But what they had was just crap.
It was a mess.
It was pure Bendis.
It was a mess. Yeah. Well, you know, to go back to what I originally said, I read Countdown to Final Crisis. That's what came out this past year in paperback form.
Ah, yeah. Still
to defend my geek
really
cred.
That's really not much of a defense.
You have so much free time that you could read that much shit, 52 weeks worth of shit.
Well, yeah. Well, it was in four volumes. They condensed it.
It's still 52 issues of pure unadulterated crap.
About 300 pages each. So 1,200 pages.
Ken, what comics would you read?
What? What I find surprising is that I shouldn't be able to critique you because you do theater.
Sorry.
Everyone else should be poor at delivering things. You do theaters.
Well, instead of insulting him, I'm actually asking a legitimate question. That's probably what threw me.
I know.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I just keep expecting so much from you in every one of these, and you never deliver.
Anyway, so Ken, it is a good question, though. Is there anything recently comic-wise that you've enjoyed?
Yes, I enjoyed the Ambush Bug miniseries that came out, basically because it destroyed Dan Didio.
Yes.
Is it a quick question? Is it Dan Didio or Dan Didio?
I've heard it pronounced both ways by different people who both know him. So,
okay,
it's either Dan. Or Dan. Dick.
What else, Ken? Besides Dan, anything?
Until they fuck themselves over with keeping the status quo. I enjoyed what was going on with Booster Gold. When they actually looked like they were going to bring Blue Beetle back and realized their mistake.
Yeah, and they had a great way of doing it, too, that would have been...
They did, and they screwed it all over.
Of course they did.
Because you have to maintain some kind of bullshit, whatever. What else am I reading? I'm getting mild enjoyment from Amazing Spider-Man, only because I'm not paying for it.
That's high praise.
I don't know. Let me go look in my comics download folder.
The stuff that you haven't deleted.
John.
You mean
I greatly enjoyed Paul Dini's detective run, because he actually knows how to write Batman, unlike some people with the main Batman book.
Yeah, that's true.
Who'd have thought
Dini stuff was good?
I've honestly given up on DC, so.
I thought he actually, you know, took a discarded nothing character like Hush and turned it into something interesting. Does that answer your question, Scott?
Yes, it does.
Even then you stumbled.
No, I didn't.
You went, yes, it does.
He was playing it on a remix turntable is what it was.
See, I may be wrong about this, Scott. Can you deliver, like, you know, a
monologue?
Soliloquy?
Okay.
DJ Scott.
Right now?
Well, not offhand. I don't have it in front of. I don't have a soliloquy in front of me.
Something on the top of your head. Just talk extemporaneously.
So, some line from Shakespeare.
You can mangle it. Just make it sound right.
Well, isn't that a lot of Shakespeare normally?
Mangled?
Still, go on. No, but go on.
Let's see. What can I talk about extemporaneously?
Oh, the episode of Star Trek with Terry Garr in it.
Dun, dun, dun.
What do you mean? The backdoor pilot they were doing?
Blech. Yes, Assignment Earth.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that.
Why? What's wrong with Terry Garr?
Yeah, she was in Young Frankenstein.
Yes, but that was many, many years ago.
Yes, but she got a pass. It was Young Frankenstein.
Yeah. And After Hours.
You have Scott, you fascist.
You have a problem with Terry Garr?
You have a problem with Young Frankenstein?
John, would you like to bring Terry Garr on the line, please?
Hold on one moment.
Oh, my God. If Terry Garr actually came on the line, then that would be so awesome.
And a much better.
And of course, it's not going to happen on here.
Actually, here we go. You know what? Rox is going to be playing the part of Terry Garr. Because I can depend on Rox to improvise during this. So, Rox.
Am I on? Am I on? Hello?
Terry, is that you?
Hello. Yes, it is.
Hey, Terry. I'm sorry that we, you know, had to call you out of the blue like this, but we thought you would want to come on and sort of rebut some of the ignorance coming from one of the people that's participating in our podcast, Mr. Scott C.
Oh, no. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Miss Garr.
You have a problem with my acting?
Amongst other things, just from what I understand.
No,
Scott,
that's
would
just
like to be
Ken
honest
misinterpreting the truth as usual.
Who is Ken?
Oh, Ken Plume. That's the guy who interviews all those people.
Yes. Who knows a lot of things.
You haven't interviewed me.
I've called your representative numerous times and have never heard back. I very much would like to speak with you in the future, Ms. Garr.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to catch me on the farm.
I definitely, whatever would be most convenient for you, I will try and arrange it. But I wanted to make sure that you could address the sort of scurrilous things that Scott C. has been saying about you and your acting and your career.
I've worked solidly for 30 years.
Okay, first thing, Ken lies a lot. It's like a pathological thing. We tried medication. We tried talk therapy.
No, wait a second, Scott. I do think there are other people on this call who would back up the fact that you were talking, excuse my language, shit about Miss Garr. Not only just a few minutes ago, you were saying these things. Would you like to actually be honest, considering
the fact
that
I work with Marty Scorsese? You do know that, right?
Marty Scorsese?
Yeah, Marty.
He looks
After Hours. You know the movie, After Hours.
Scott really doesn't know movies.
I can't see anybody calling him Marty.
Yes.
His friends call him Marty.
Yeah.
I call him Marty. Don't you, Scott?
I knew his mother. And she calls him Marty. So, hey, I got friends with
that's his
mom,
mother.
And I could call him Marty.
You have to excuse Scott, Miss Gar. He has very little respect for you, as you've seen just now.
Well, anyway, Marty gave me a job on After Hours, which was a great cult classic, as you all know.
Of course.
Right? Yes, yeah. We've seen it, unlike Scott.
Of course we have.
I mean, I used that really cool bouffant hair based on Star Trek and Nurse Chapel's hair.
Well, let me tell you, for one, am disappointed that you know that didn't go to series, but in many ways, it was good because it allowed you to have the spectacular film career that followed. If you were locked up in a series, you might not have been available for some things like Young Frankenstein, which is a classic, I must say.
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I show up on Letterman.
Your appearances on Letterman are amazing.
Thank you.
You know, you and Bonnie Hunt are the go-to people to really get under Letterman's skin.
Yeah, ever since, you know, Tony Randall passed away, you know, we try to fill in.
And you do a magnificent job. Scott, would you like to contribute anything or defend your take on Miss Garth in front of her? Do you have the guts to do so?
No, of course not.
Would you like to apologize to Miss Gar now that she's on the line? I'm sure she's a very busy person and has to get back
I'm
to her life.
I'm so busy, yes. I have a vineyard, you know.
Look, if there was any perceived...
I don't think you should make this a qualified apology. I think you just
I'm
should
not,
just come out and
I am
apologize.
Not, I am not making
this is
it
a living
a qualified
legend that we got on the line, taking her valuable time to come on here so you could actually apologize to a living legend. And I think you should do so. And I think it's wrong if you try and pussyfoot around and qualify an apology. Now, will you apologize to Miss Gar or not?
I think I have another call. I need to go.
Now, apologize to her, Scott, now.
I am so sorry. Really am.
Ms. Gar,
sorry.
Yes, on behalf of all of us at Need Coffee, I apologize for Scott C., and we will simply up the voltage.
And let me say, before you go, I really enjoyed you on the Ken Berry Wow Show.
Oh, wasn't that great? I loved Ken Berry.
Thank you very much for taking the time out of your evening to join us so Scott could be humbled.
You're quite welcome.
You have a good night, Ms. Gar.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I feel like we've cleared the air now.
Can you, you miserable bastard?
Oh, Rox, you're back.
I'm back. Hi, how are you?
Well,
you missed Terry Gar.
Well, I had to drop her off in the conference.
Does this mean I have to listen to the podcast again?
Yes, well, yeah. Only to hear how awkward Scott was during the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't that awkward.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, it was pretty odd, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Anyone else you want to insult that we got to bring
was
on the line?
Is it true she's friends with Martin Scorsese?
She calls him Marty. They're good friends.
Wow. Not everyone calls him Marty, I heard.
No, only the best friends.
Okay.
Scott, you got anything to add?
No, that pretty much was terrible.
Just out of curiosity, John, what happens to Scott on the Unique Geek podcasts?
he's pretty well behaved. We're not as abrasive, I suppose. we're a bunch of wimps, basically.
Which you don't have to understand how much we have to scour off of him. That's where the abrasiveness comes from.
Weekend Justice, the baking soda of podcasts.
No, I believe we're the steel wool of podcasts.
We're the Brillo pad of podcasts.
Well, now you're just getting into your kinks.
Awkward.
Please, and please, no brand names.
You haven't gotten a promotion deal for a Brillo pad?
No, we have not come through with that demand of yours.
Well, I thought you were looking for sponsors, Ken.
Yes, well, we weren't looking in those areas.
Why not?
Scott, keep it to yourself.
No, why not? Why? You should be pursuing all avenues of marketing. Why aren't you going after that?
Oh, I am.
Like what?
I have to tell you. Who the fuck do you think you are? The thing is, Scott, you're so easy to shut down.
No, I'm asking you, who have you approached?
This is like shooting a ball into your blowhole.
What? Oh my God.
Wow, that's the worst euphemism ever. And I don't even understand it.
Rob does.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
I'm just great.
Hey, Rob. Rob.
I would depend on Rob to get a Suntaran reference.
Rob?
No, I'm just stunned that we got Terry Garr on the phone. I'm still just shocked.
Oh, is Terry Garr calling back?
He's playing Galaxian.
Next week we'll get Vicky Lawrence. You know.
That is Terry Garr.
Oh, man, Vicky Lawrence. Yay. Hey, Rob.
Can she come on and give us the night the lights went out in Georgia?
Sure.
No, you have to pay extra for that.
No, the actual song we're talking about, Scott. Not the evening.
Well, that's what I was talking about. What were you,
I don't know.
You
I
thinking,
think she scats
man?
A lot, though.
Anyway, Roxy, you had a question for Rob.
And scatting costs an extra 50 bucks.
Yes, it does. Have you listened to the soundtrack to Millionaire, Slumdog Millionaire yet?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Well, someone really likes MIA, but besides that, I mean, it's pretty much a...
Well, I mean, there's MIA in it.
Yeah, but it's a nice compilation of, like, Indian pop stars of the moment doing songs that are traditionally, like, standards in the Indian pop music idiom, so...
Oh, okay. Well, I loved
it. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
So, Rob, you've seen the film?
Yes.
How was it?
It's pretty great.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list.
Yeah, it's pretty good. If Terry Garr were in it, though, Scott would probably go see it.
Scott, would you like to play something?
No, I'm good.
Usually a podcast is participatory.
Usually.
Do you watch the Super Bowl?
No. Oh, I do watch the commercials, oddly enough.
Really?
Why
still?
Bother? You
yes,
too.
I do.
All you have to do is wait 15 minutes and they'll be up on YouTube and super quality.
There are there are no companies economically viable enough to advertise this year.
No,
why bother?
Not this year.
Uh-oh. Hey, Widge?
Yeah.
You know, I would. I know we kind of freeform it, but I actually have a, you know, plan, unlike the Cylon. But,
I heard some criticism of a Battlestar Galactica unveiling.
I said we don't have a plan, unlike the Cylon.
Are you disappointed that the fifth Cylon turned out to be the polar bear from Lost?
Oh, no, I didn't know. No, what I was going to...
Sorry.
I love that polar bear in the Coke commercials, though.
Yeah,
same one.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I thought it was great. It's a great move for his career. Anyway, Rob, what you got?
I just think that we should note that Patrick McGowan, one of the underrated giants of popular culture, passed this week.
Well, that's
true.
Yeah.
Yes, loved him in the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
You're a dickhead.
You know, people would come up and say that to him and he'd knock him in the head.
With an umbrella.
Then he'd offer them a script.
Yeah.
Outside
of Prisoner, though, he was great in Silver Streak, for example, which is just a great movie. He's great in that.
That is a great movie.
I liked his doctor show.
And the two episodes of Columbo he did were great.
Three.
So, but the big thing is, at a time when people couldn't say fuck you to the TV industry, he got to say fuck you to the TV industry, and I think that's huge. So...
Yeah, well, we've been losing a bunch of people. I mean, we lost Bob May from Lost in Space.
Hey, I have a thing.
Yep.
Ricardo Montalban.
Yes. Yeah, it sucked.
And his fine Corinthian leather face.
Yes.
Yes.
Rich Corinthian.
I saw an interview with him once where somebody asked him about Rich Corinthian leather, and they actually ended up beeping him when he was talking about it. He goes, oh, that was all bullshit. They beeped out the bullshit part. It was just hilarious hearing him say that.
Nice.
And then there was this really great story about when they did the, when Wrath of Khan came out, Star Trek was to the point where they could actually do, you know, big movie premieres for it, because they hadn't really done a lot of those. So there's this really great story about, you know, they went to the premiere for Wrath of Khan and all these different cities, and they decided to do one in Mexico City. So, you know, of course they're going to Mexico City, and there's this huge line of people. So Shatner's the first one out of the car, and the guy who's running it for whatever the company was in Mexico City says, like, they're here for Mr. Maltabon. And Nimoy, and apparently, like, because I heard Nimoy tell the story, and Nimoy was like, Shatner just looked like he got hit in the face, because apparently when Wrath of Khan came out in Mexico and Latin-speaking countries, Ricardo Montalban got the top billing.
Ha!
Oh, wow. Good.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yes, he was the number one badass Star Trek villain.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, considering that they had how many shots to try and come up with a comparatively strong villain and never managed it?
Oh, yeah.
That's very true.
But I would argue that Wrath of Khan is probably the last good Star Trek film.
I would say it's the last great Star Trek film. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's the last good one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's really, really good, and I actually enjoyed some after that. They're watchable, you know. Not all of them offended my...
Well, I'd say if one you would pick that you would say is an absolute classic that you should take away if you had to dump the rest of them.
Definitely.
It's the only one that's actually in my collection. So,
well, that's because you're a huge Paul Winfield fan.
Well, I'm hoping at the J.J. Abrams version.
Yeah, he's got every episode of The Charmings TiVo'd and put away.
Oh, you and your City Confidential collection.
You bastard. I deny nothing.
I love when they went and found that love triangle in Des Moines. That was the best. He sold insurance, she sold flowers, was doomed. How did they ever know that entire love affair was just a facade for insurance fraud? Paul Winfield knew.
Sounds like you've watched a few of those yourself, Ken.
How can you not? Paul Winfield draws you in. He can make any of those interesting.
And it doesn't matter what you know, if you come in the middle of it, you hear the voice, and you're like, oh, watch it.
Paul, tell us a story.
Yeah.
God, he would have been great for the Harry Potter books.
One could argue that Robbie Coltrane is the white Paul Winfield.
Please argue that, because I don't believe you.
Oh, yes, he's got the same sort of veneer. He's got the same sort of delivery.
Uh-huh.
That was the best debate ever.
Wow.
And even with that, I'm going to have to declare it a draw.
I'm still waiting for Scott's soliloquy.
Yeah, keep waiting.
I have nothing prepared.
Okay, here, I'll give you a topic. Are you ready?
Oh, God, is it? Is this going to be like...
Shut up and listen. Here, the name of your soliloquy is Ode on an Empty Mind. And it's not a conceptual piece, so you have to speak.
I was trying to, but then you interrupted me.
But is it an empty mime? Because if it's a mime, then would he actually be talking?
No, I did say mind with a D.
Mind,
I said no conceptual pieces.
Okay, just checking.
So no, oh, like, you know, 44 seconds of ignorance.
That's a great name for a podcast.
An empty mind that finds pleasure in watching things like The Bachelorette, for example, or any of the myriad of god-awful reality TV that seems to be out there nowadays.
I'm not feeling that.
I just started.
I agree with Rob. Yeah, I'm not feeling it either.
You know, but at this point, you know, 10 seconds in, it's a whammy. You know, you gotta feel it.
All I heard was a bunch of
in our own sadness and misery by this point.
Here's my interpretation of what Scott just did.
I am crawling in sadness and misery, but that's because of the podcast.
Talk about and things. And my thoughts, the end.
Scott C's legit reviews for the preview of his one-man show have been scathing, to say the least.
And yes, it's called Scott C, S-E-E exclamation point. Come on, well, would you like... For Rob's sake, because you're losing him as an audience member, would you like one more shot at it?
pretend you're dressed like a whore.
Like a whore?
Yeah, I was about to say, let's make sure that Rob...
There's a difference?
Where Scott's concerned, anyway.
Do your fan dance.
No, that definitely costs extra.
For who? Rob, you got money?
No.
Scott, I have to tell you that...
Yes, why would I have money?
Yeah, Scott, a 10% increase of zero is just still zero.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, Scott. Push some CDs. Sell that stuff.
In all fairness, Scott did write up the Curious Echo post on Need Coffee, finally.
Yep.
Well, I guess our Scott C books on tape idea is gone.
What would have been the first release in that, Rob?
Probably War and Peace. To keep them so busy that none of us have to deal with them. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
I thought his first novel was Tropic of Cancer.
No, it was 120 Days of Sallow.
I'm glad John reacted to that first. Let that be John's character note, that he reacted to that first.
So one more shot, Scott? Come on. Salvage your acting career.
Ode to an Empty Mind.
I believe it was Ode on an Empty Mind, but you go anyway.
Wait, hold on. Was it an empty mind or? Now you got me confused.
It's an empty mind.
Okay, Scott, this isn't a two-hander. Will you go already?
Scott's normally best with a one-hander anyway.
Dead but true.
I just wet myself.
You're supposed to go before the podcast.
You shouldn't have had that soda, John.
Although, see, how am I supposed to follow
you
that?
You just did provide an incentive for Scott.
Use your right hand, Charlie Brown.
It's a two-hander, Charlie Brown.
Try some lanolin, Charlie Brown.
Everybody chafes, Charlie Brown. Okay. Let's provide. I think Widge, in your best announcer voice, you have to present for the evening.
Yes.
To the fine ladies and gentlemen in the audience. Scott Campbell's Ode on an Empty Mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, for tonight's performance, the role of Scott Campbell will be performed by Scott Campbell. I present to you Scott Campbell in Ode on an Empty Mind.
Boo!
Yay. Who said boo?
Okay.
Who out there said boo?
Didn't.
Anyway.
It was Terry Garr.
Bitch.
You're losing us.
Well, I'm trying to, but the audience is interrupting me.
Understudy.
He is the understudy.
Did we pay money for this?
No, of course not. Podcast is free.
We paid for this?
Called on an Empty Mind.
If we were to cast this as a movie, we should have Philip Seymour Hoffman play Scott.
That could work.
That would work frighteningly well.
Yeah.
And intermission.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby. And get ourselves some.
Oh, hurry. Intermission's ending.
Next.
Hang on. I need something to make the tones.
Rumble.
Is he actually going to do better in the second half?
I don't know.
Is he actually going to do something in the second half?
Isn't that when the helicopter lands in Act 2?
Oh, what? Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Witch?
Yeah, Rob.
I've actually got to go, you know, do that Wednesday thing. So
okay.
Let me know if the acting gets any better.
Yeah, I will. Well, my review will be on the site tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you, Rob.
Bye, Rob.
And sorry you couldn't make the second half.
We didn't work out a thing. What?
So you couldn't make the second half.
You know, this part was so great, you know.
But I hear he blinds a horse.
That's awesome. Won't be the first time. All right, kids, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Rob.
Beat the rush.
They're flashing the lights, guys. We need to go have a seat.
Okay, well.
All right.
Okay. Did you bring anything to eat?
Hang on. Rox, did you sneak those hot dogs in with your stuff?
Yes.
Are they in your bag?
Yes.
All right.
I have the crypto bag.
Okay, cool.
Okay, I'm ready for this. Oh, curtain's going up.
Yeah, I know. Okay, shh.
Why is he naked?
He's about to blind a horse.
Ode on an empty mind.
Do you want some candy?
Yeah, give me some candy.
Okay. Unwrap it slowly so you can't hear it.
Okay, thank you. Somebody turn off that cell phone.
Oh, hold on. Let me get this.
Fuck. Ken.
Don't you know you're in a theater? You're not at home. God damn it.
I can't work under these conditions.
Right now. No, this it's not very good at all.
Time,
no, actually, the first half was horrible. I can't talk to you right now. He's about to do something. I think he's going to blind or fuck a horse. I don't know. Yeah, okay. I'll give you a call when it's over. Okay.
Or blind fuck a horse. Whatever.
Okay. All right. Are we ready? Okay.
Shh.
Did he fuck the horse yet?
Oh, shit. That's my cell phone. Hang on. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Does he have the Barney theme on his cell phone?
Which this is me. Yeah, I'm a few rows up from you right now.
Oh, okay. Is that you? Okay, yeah. Cool.
Does this suck for you too?
God, it's fucking awful. I can't believe we paid for this.
We didn't. We got comped. You paid?
You got comped for this?
You think I'd fucking pay for this shit?
Shh. Alright, sorry. All right, I'll talk to you later, man. Bye bye.
Bye.
When's something going to happen? I don't know.
Why is there a bear on the stage?
Somebody's getting married?
Why is he calling the bear Marty?
Oh my god, it's Terry Garr!
Oh wow, she's in this.
Oh wait a second, she's beating the shit out of him.
This is great now!
I don't think this was planned. Oh my
but
god,
it's
he's
wonderful. This improvisational theater is amazing.
So much blood and tears on the same stage.
Look, she's picking up an ice skate.
All we need is some sweat on the stage, and they could do a spin and a wheel.
Who brings an ice skate to a stage show?
I don't know, but it's great.
It's that new theater. It's all that new theater stuff.
This is amazing. Now I'm awake, and I feel like I'm enjoying the show.
She is kicking his ass.
Is that real blood?
That is brutal.
Wow, I've never heard someone whimper quite like that.
Neither is Scott.
Best night ever.
Wow.
Oh, wait. Here's his big moment. Here comes a soliloquy. Okay, this is shit.
Is he a mute?
No, I think he's just stupid.
Is that supposed to be an interpretive dance? Oh no, he's jerking off. That's how he's gonna blind the horse.
I don't think he rehearsed this with the horse prior.
The horse looks really frightened. Maybe he did rehearse it with the horse prior. Why is the horse's name Prior?
Okay, the horse is gone. It's just Scott. I sure as hell hope this thing's got a big finish.
You think we would have liked
that?
This.
Not like that.
I hope the ending's happy.
Just hope he doesn't throw feces at us.
That costs extra.
Like the last show.
Oh, look. It looks like he decided to comp your wish.
I'm so glad I brought this Gallagher-esque plastic to cover ourselves. And this welder's helmet.
Dear God, I don't think there's enough plastic.
And this hazmat suit.
I told you to bring the welder's helmet, didn't I?
And the gigantic Ziploc bag.
And this gun. I'm afraid he's a wild animal at this point. We're going to have to put him down.
Scott C. is Old Yeller.
Time to die, Yeller.
Oh, this is so tragic. Honestly,
okay, are we done?
That's what and the horse asked.
And curtain. Oh, that was amazing.
That was the best.
Boo. Oh. Boo.
Scott? Yes, this is our idea. Your little play out in Tallahassee can't take this. This is our play. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
We own it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll take it.
You know, interpretive theater is a strange thing. Rocks. You know that. What?
It's too ambitious for them. They haven't worked to the level where they actually want to hold an audience's attention.
Not enough dick and fart jokes. That's the problem.
Oh, is that
what
we forgot?
Scott, if you were on stage naked, if the fact there's not enough dick, that would be your fault, wouldn't it?
Or the thermostat.
Oh.
Well, the thing is, my dick isn't a joke, so...
Wait, you owe me a new microphone.
What's that?
You owe me a new microphone. You said that just as I was taking a drink. Oh, God.
I believe there is no food and drink in the theater, John.
I snuck it in. It was in Rox's purse.
No, it wasn't.
And, you know, the thing was, I didn't have to do anything. I just let you guys go, and I could just sit there and let you do your little thing.
Is that how your theater troupe treats you? They just go ahead and go on without you?
No.
That's how my wife treats me. What does that mean?
Oh!
they probably have a far happier marriage than most.
So John, what, she works on some one-handers too?
Oh.
Whatever gets you there.
It's not me getting there. You're talking about your marriage.
She works at the unique free.
So was I. What? Oh my God!
That's the other site, right, Ken? The unique freak.
Hold on, wait a second. I'm registering that too.
I believe your wife's already got it.
Well, that's the problem. She isn't getting it.
Now I'm curious.
She's getting it. Just John's not involved.
Well, I'm in the room.
Yeah, when I'm not busy with the horse, she's using it.
And watching it on TiVo later. Oh my.
Oh, Weekend Justice, continuing its mission to tear marriages apart.
And perform conceptual theater.
Did you say perform in sexual theater?
Conceptual. Get your mind out of the gutter, Ken.
You're one to talk.
And so the pot spake unto the kettle.
That's like Scott's. That's like Scott raising a sign and going, gutter's occupied.
I don't know. You have the picture with the Muppet.
A gutter runs through it.
The picture with the Muppet. What the hell does that
mean? Well, you know.
I don't understand how that's supposed to relate to anything. I've got the picture with the Muppet.
Hey.
Maybe that's another euphemism, Ken.
No, you got that Muppet in that weird position. I mean,
that Muppet in that weird position.
Yeah.
Oh, no, by all means, say something. Learn how to speak. This is like that Howie Mandel, Christopher Lloyd film.
Howie Mandel, Christopher.
Was that Walk Like a Man?
It was. Thank you, John.
Oh, dear
somebody
God.
Else had, somebody else
good,
had HBO.
Good old Ken with the obscure movie reference.
It wasn't terribly obscure. It's a shitty movie, but it's not that obscure.
Yeah, it's obscure.
There was a blank spot in the filmography in my mind that you've just now filled with that again, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't thank him for that.
I was being sarcastic.
Shut up, Howie.
Oh.
Wow, it worked. That's all it took?
No, it would tick a lot more.
It would tick a lot more?
Take a lot more. Open up your ears.
Enunciate. Enunciate.
Acting.
Genius.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Eliza. I feel Weak Injustice has just turned into a project trying to build something out of you, Scott. Just so we can take you places without shame.
This would be so that would be called Podmalion.
Yes.
Oh.
Hold on, I'm registering that.
Does that make you Henry Higgins?
Not in the way you probably want it.
Oh. Ew. Why don't you sing us something from My Fair Lady, Ken?
Or no, Rex Harrison your way through it.
Yeah.
The rain
since you've done so much more musical theater than I have.
That I seriously doubt.
No. I have not done any musicals.
Scott, you live
I
your
fully
life
admit that my
theater.
Voice is suitable for being part of a really big chorus. So you can't actually hear it. But you've actually sung a solo song on your own. So
I did
hear
not
something.
Sing a solo song on my own.
You did.
No. Think about what you're trying to say, revise it, and then say it correctly.
You sang a song by yourself.
No. This is fun.
I have a problem with grammar, ass Widge.
Yeah, at times he does. But he's working on it, and
yes.
The medication helps.
Yes.
Well, maybe you'll work your way to grade 7 one day.
Hey, if at grade 7, he would have already surpassed most of the high school graduates in Alabama. And I say that speaking as one.
Okay, listen, well, John.
Come on, Ken. Let's hear Ridge, something from My Fair Lady.
Going to kindergarten would have surpassed most of the high school graduates in Alabama.
Actually, no, literally, and no joke, when I graduated high school in Alabama, the high school graduation exam had been upgraded. No, actually, it was before. You might be right, because after I graduated, they had upped it to a sixth grade level.
What?
And it still involved finger painting.
Yes, it did. Rox, when I graduated high school in Alabama, yeah. they had a test that you took that you had to pass because it was supposed to be the bare minimum of what you were supposed to know.
Yeah.
And there was actually a question on there that said, out of the following four shapes, name the circle. And then
no!
had a picture of a rectangle, circle, square, diamond. No shit.
I would have thrown a hole in there just to fuck with them.
Oh, I'm sure they did and probably, you know, had protests or something. We don't want any of them weird circles down here.
So, Widge, did you get beat up because you were one of those reading kids?
No, oh. Not in high school, no.
Okay.
No, he got beat up because he was a drama kid.
Oh.
No, I didn't really get beat up in high school.
Okay.
He had God to protect him in high school.
Oh. And he did such a good job.
Let me show you all the colors of the wind, Widge.
Sweet Jeebus.
I don't know. I always imagine like Widge in high school, kind of like what's his name? The guy from Casino.
Which one?
Robert De Niro?
No, the other one.
Don Rickles?
Well, maybe. But, oh, God, I'm completely blanking on him now.
What, Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're thinking the right film?
Okay.
Well, you know, that character that just, you know, it just goes nuts if you, even if you mess with him a little. Just takes it.
That, yeah, that's Joe Pesci.
That's Joe Pesci.
But he wasn't like that in Casino.
Yeah, he was.
Not like another film he was in. Why would you think he was like that? Which was a color-wearing, Jesus-loving drama writing, and he was like this godly Renaissance man who loved the sunshine and the brightness and the happiness of days.
No. I will say that I was not that devout cultist, okay?
No.
Cultist? No. Yes.
Bitch loving the sunshine? No, I can't see it. No.
Oh, Widge walked in days during that time.
Yes, I was the
did
day walker.
You wear yellow?
Did I wear yellow? No. No, no.
No, all rainbow.
I'm sorry. I just can't see it. It's no.
Well, look at the picture you posted of us in Lee's room. You posted that, right? Where I had the longer hair. I actually was wearing a overshirt that had white on it.
See, Widge went in reverse Gandalf order. He was originally Widge the White. Now he's become Widge the Gray.
You shall not pass.
No, actually, now with your leanings, you're more like, you shall do whatever the fuck you want to.
That's true. Well, I'm the anarchist Gandalf.
Yeah, I was referring more to, like, you know, happy, sunshiny person. I can't see that a witch.
So in shop class, Widge put a kid's head in a vice. Is that what you're saying?
I can see that.
You mean on the day he broke?
You're assuming that if I had taken shop class in high school, they would have let me around power tools at all.
Yeah. Well,
a vice isn't a power tool.
No.
Well, that's how much I know about vices.
You just spent your days.
Oh, I don't know. I think you know a lot more about vices than you think.
I think Widge just spent his days tapping on leather and plotting revenge.
Is that a euphemism?
Scott does that a lot now.
Oh, it's not leathery since it cleared up.
Well done.
You know, it's the sharing that's not necessary.
But that's the case with most of our podcasts.
That is absolutely true.
All right. So should we wrap up whatever it is we've just been doing?
I don't know. Well, we might as well, because the experiment with Scott was a complete failure.
I don't know. I truly enjoyed it.
Exactly.
Don't even.
Hello, I, kid. Moves to cut you off. No.
It's not hard when you're fighting an opponent who moves in bullet time.
I try to say something that Ken interrupts me. So how am I supposed to develop my speaking skills if Ken keeps interrupting me?
You're supposed to bowl right over him and ignore him. That's what I do.
I know. It's hard.
See, what's
hard.
Good is,
ahead.
What's good is I just gave him plenty of time to speak and defend himself, and he wasted it.
I tried to defend myself.
You said nothing of consequence. Over. You still continue to say nothing of consequence.
Or truth.
You have added nothing to this podcast but air.
Excuse me?
And even that was stale.
Scott has given us a lot of fun this evening.
Yes, thank you.
Completely unintentionally.
I bring joy and happiness everywhere I go. Unlike you, Ken, who brings nothing
please
but cynicism
go there, then.
And darkness. Ken, the bringer of cynicism and darkness, the man who loves nothing.
What I grade is, John, I now realize that...
I know why you brought up the whole empty mind thing.
Scott,
you have
shut
an
up.
Empty... You
John, what I was saying heart. Is that
are
and
dead
now you
inside.
Must realize that giving Ken. Scott to you was a massive gift of joy and sunshine into the Unique Geek podcast.
And John would agree. John?
Why, thank you. I guess.
John, do you see him as a valid contributor, a ray of light and hope and happiness within the Unique Geek podcast? Do you see him as a perfect complement to whatever verbal bouillabaisse you're putting together?
Bouillabaisse.
Don, wow. Don, make sure you register that too. Verbal bouillabaisse.
Hey, Widge, don't we normally do recommendations at this point, or?
Yeah, we could do
you
recommendations.
Bastard, both of you.
I'm just
in fact,
kidding.
John,
I
in
love
fact,
you, Scott.
In fact, John, to deflect any further conversation.
No, hold on, Widge.
Yes.
We must congratulate John. That was good acting.
Yes, it was.
I did go to theater on scholarship, so.
Whoa,
wow.
Really?
Yes.
Unlike Kent, who is truly an evil bastard. That Scott, is not acting. That is what he
now,
truly
now,
is.
Scott
went to theater on a bus.
Scott, in all fairness, Ken did go to evil bastard school on a scholarship.
Actually, it was a grant.
Well, that's true. That's true. But it's still, it's there. So John, you're like theater guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, John, you're speaking to me who was in community theater for like 7 years, like hardcore. So you're among friends.
But that was court order.
I can't speak for Ken, but for the most of us, you're among friends.
Yes.
Yes,
you are.
I have nothing but respect for John.
And obviously nothing but... And
shut up, Scott. We're talking about John.
So John, what did you do? Were you on stage or were you doing technical stuff? Or
no, I was on stage.
Ah, cool.
Doing what?
So, well, I did everything from musical theater to, I guess straight acting, if you will.
It's called acting, Scott. Sit up and pay attention.
So John, what was your favorite role?
Actually, my favorite role was as
toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
Impressive.
No. My favorite role was as
Kaiser.
Oh no, I forgot as no, I'm going to tell you it's my favorite role and I'm going to forget. Actually, I did Scrooge. That was my high school year. That was my high school year, the senior high school year. So I don't know if that really counts, but but then it would probably be as the Walrus in Carnival.
Can you remember any lines?
That was a great show.
It was a puppet. This is a puppet. No, I can't, but I can probably find them. Hold on.
This is worth it. This is a true learning experience for Scott right now.
Yeah, I had, that's funny. And you know, John, what's funny is I've actually played Scrooge too. So.
Oops.
Yeah, but John actually played it on stage.
Yeah. I originated the role of a Scrooge in A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that was probably my. Oh man, that's not coming up. Hold on.
A human version of Scrooge, not an anthropomorphized duck, there, Ken.
Correct.
Oh, I yes, in the stage musical based on DuckTales.
Which would actually be pretty fucking cool, wouldn't it?
You could take the role of Launchpad.
1961. Let's see. Book by yada yada yada.
Here we go. Greatness is coming. I can feel it.
Yum tiki. Let's see. I was actually thinking. I was going to sing something for a second there, but now I can't remember.
Oh, whoa! Rock on.
But now I'm trying to find the music. Well, talk amongst truly, yourselves.
Truly, John, you are the walrus.
Why don't you just look within you the music?
Dun dun dun. Hermes, I hate him. Blah, blah. Where is it? The puppets, Beautiful Candy. Yeah, they did Beautiful Candy. I got to remember this one.
That does sound perverse, I have to say.
Widge, this is podcast greatness.
I know. It's fantastic. I had no idea that we had another theater junkie on the podcast.
Yeah, well, the caveat to that is that after junior year, I dropped out and became a computer dude. So that tells you what my prospects were.
Well,
junior college.
At least you realized it, you know, unlike some people.
Well, not to get too deep, but I also wanted to have a family, and I realized that it was a tough road to hoe with the being an actor and having to move.
Yes, well, high diddly D, you know.
An actor's life for me.
Yep.
Okay, come on, trade it off.
Oh, God, I'm trying to find it. That's what she said. Oh, I couldn't resist.
Neither could she.
Yes, she could.
It just came naturally.
Well, that's all you got to do is act that way.
Well, that's what I've heard.
Well, that's good. I like it. He's finding his moment, Scott. Pay attention.
I'm not going to find it. This is too much pressure.
We're vamping like a son of a bitch here, John. You better come up with something.
Musical. Let's see. Da-da-da, music. Carnival free music downloads.
Oh my God, you're going and downloading it?
No, I'm just trying to find, because I can't remember the words, and I was trying to find the words.
Just type in the name of the song and the word lyrics.
I never said I was a good technician.
Well, in John's defense, finding lyrics is not as easy as it sounds for some songs.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it is.
Hang on, I'm making a note. John's next Christmas gift, Google the missing manual. Okay.
At least do some vocal warm-ups for us, John.
Let's see.
That's perfect.
Okay. Repeat after me. Unique New York.
It's a tragedy.
Is that the song, or are you just making shit up?
Will you shut up? He's having a moment.
I'm trying to...
Isn't that warming up or something?
Yeah, I didn't know if it was actually
center,
the song.
Center.
Breakaway.
I'm in my quiet space.
Stay on target.
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 That's what she said.
All right, I tell you what. This will give everyone a reason to tune in next time. I will have something prepared.
No, you're not going to prepare.
There's a next time?
Oh, okay, fine.
Ken doesn't want you to be prepared. Trust me. He likes catching
you. Thank
you
very much.
This is theater of the moment. I mean, you've already outshone Scott.
I can
accomplish that.
I think I can scrap together in my mind the monologue from Henry V.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, go for it. Oh, do it.
Yeah.
It was he that wishes so. My cousin Westmoreland? No, my fair cousin. If we are to die, we are enough to do our country lost. But if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. I lost it. Sorry.
That was powerful.
That was good. I wanted to go to war.
It was horrible. I haven't done it in a long time. Sorry.
Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows, but rage is fortune.
Hold on. Wait, I'm finding it now.
Or it could be the John Merrick version.
Now's the winter of discontent. Alas, for Yorick.
You amend the grace
of Horatio.
I wish that one then more. By Jove! I am covetous for gold!
Saliva Foley provided by Rocks.
Hang on. Oh, were you doing a Scottish accent there?
No!
That's a band name, Saliva Foley.
Oh, man.
So they do songs from Beverly Hills Cop?
This day is called Feast of Crispian. What?
Sing a Christmas song.
Any song
that comes to your mind. Right now.
Well, you know everything.
You know
that
what? Sing one of Widget's band songs.
What's
yeah,
that?
There you go.
Sing one of the songs from Widget's band. He can't seem to do it.
A strolling minstrel, I.
Or maybe something from 42nd Street.
Yeah, do something from 42nd Street, John.
Because Ken won't, because he's a pussy.
No, in all fairness, Ken put out the parameters by which he would release that footage, and those parameters have not been met by the public at large.
How much snow?
How much snow? What?
How much do we have to give you to do it?
I think that
to do what?
It's 2,000.
To do what? Oh, okay.
And how much do you have so far?
Not that, so no one's going to see it yet.
Well, why don't you give us like a sneak preview, Ken?
No.
Give us a taste.
No.
Why not?
Because it's my choice, and I said no. See how that works?
Yeah, when I say something like that, you give me shit, and then Brown.
I know,
beat
because
me.
It's very easy to do so, and you respond to it.
What have I been saying?
When I try not to say anything, you give me shit for that, too.
When I try not to say anything, you give me shit for that, too. Hold on, it's going to take me a couple of minutes to come up with something to say back. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Like Winnie the Pooh over there.
Thanks for noticing me.
Now, did you do the musical version of A Christmas Carol, or?
It was a version. It was a musical that was done by a local theater company there, and two friends of mine actually wrote it. And it's been going for. They've been running it every Christmas for like the past 20 years.
It's called Death Metal Xmas Carol.
Yes, and it's fucking badass, dude. I've been trying to get on them about actually packaging it and publishing it so other people can do it, because there's some shit versions of it out there.
Anything in your head, any song you can think of. I don't think it's Mary Had a Little Lamb, whatever, something.
Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow.
What's better than I can do?
We know.
Much better than Ken.
Yeah? Admittedly.
Now, Ken could do it as Brian Blessed, though.
I won't.
All of my roles, by the way, all my singing roles were always in character voice. They were never, and they were more Rex Harrison than anything.
So no one's heard your true song?
My wife has, with one hand.
And it's not yours.
It's the horses.
Horses don't have hands.
This one did.
Egg on the street.
Is that what he told you?
Oh, my God.
No, that's Scott.
His mouth was full at the time.
I'm a horse, Scott.
Come into the room.
The horse didn't talk. His mouth was full.
What do you think about that, Mr. Horse?
No, sir. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Well, that's not what you said
last
night.
Wow, a Ren and Stimpy reference.
Thank you, John.
Good on you.
Oh, God.
I believe that deserves an apple.
Well, thank you.
Or a log.
Log?
Log! God help us. All right, so.
Recommendations.
My God, are we still going? Are we still working? Hold on, wait. Should I record?
We're still going. Have you been recording?
Fucking hell. All right, Scott, what do you have to recommend? Let's get this done.
Yeah. Let's see. Where is that page? Here we go. I found a book that looks interesting.
The Big Book of Drama?
No. God's Crucible, Islam and the Making of Europe, 1570 to 1215.
You can't even read?
I had a little bit of dyslexia there for a second, but I recovered.
Slidexia is nothing to laugh at.
Exactly. And damn.
There.
And it's about how the Islamic world and the Christian world of Europe sort of fed off each other, and how the threat of Islam created how the Christian world and the feudal system developed, and how in turn they sort of affected the...
What was the name of the book? Because your description is killing it for me. Maybe I can go read about it.
God's Crucible.
Okay,
Islam, the Making of Europe, 570 to 1215.
I would recommend that everyone just go look it up and read about it. Sorry, Scott. You just killed it.
Unfortunately, I didn't kill you.
You made holy war boring.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my.
That's me. I make things boring. What can I say?
Inquisition.
What a show.
All right. Rox, what's your recommendation?
Drama for Dummies.
Hey. Yeah.
I didn't name it at you, Scott.
No, you named it again.
Since I didn't get to talk about comics, I'll go with Acme Novelty Library by Chris Ware.
Yes.
Yeah. And, there's a new translation of America by Franz Kafka from Mark Harlan. Apparently he fills in a lot of holes that the known translation for America has, you know. So apparently, I don't know. it's getting late. So anyway,
I know it's late, Rox, yeah. And I know you're worried.
Acme Novelty Library. Go with that.
Got it. Cool.
All right,
Ken, what have you got?
Oh, no, go to John first.
Okay, John, what have you got?
I actually have nothing, although you've got me now looking up every single musical I've ever done.
Cats, sing memories.
Oh, God.
The way that I've heard it every single time I've heard it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Memories! Oh, no, that's the wrong one. I was thinking the Barbra Streisand version.
Of course you were.
Like the corners on my mind.
Misty watercolored memories.
Did you say like the quarters of your mind?
Yes, the quarters. There's quarters of my mind. They're actually drawn into quarters, in fact. They're yes. drawn and quartered.
I was about to say. That's, he was tied several places to those horses from before.
You know, there is no business like show business.
I know, and you know what? Wild horses couldn't drag you away.
What?
Okay, Ken, now to you.
Oh, no, go back to John.
No, John's done. He's got nothing. He's busy looking up musicals and reminiscing about his past.
That's unacceptable. He has to recommend something.
I recommend that you stay in theater, kids.
That's right, kids. Don't go start a family. You won't find happiness there.
That's
the same happiness you'll find being a traveling vagabond, treading the boards every night for little pay and no respect. No, that's much better than having a family. Trust him.
Well, except for the
treading. Yeah, you can have kids that don't respect you.
Except for the treading the boards thing, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Little pay, no respect.
Yeah. No. Every parent's dream, they live for that day when their kid looks at them and says, fuck you, dad.
Is that what you look forward to, Scott? Is the day when your kid will say that?
Oh, you would have to go there. You bastard.
I'm sorry the papers didn't go through.
Of course they can't go through here in the fascist state of Florida, you son of a bitch.
Okay.
Bring up my secret vein, you bastard.
Why don't you just drive south and look for a boat bringing them from Cuba?
All right. I wish.
What?
But no.
I get to see Scott out in a little boat with a trawling net going, come on, kids.
Not with the netting laws around here. They're even worse.
I've got cocoa on board.
With marshmallow.
That was good, Scott. Thank you.
Bastard.
Ken.
You wouldn't have to hit me where it hurts, you son of a bitch. God, I hate you.
Trust me, we're 6.5 miles out. Come on board.
Oh, Christ. Oh, Ken. Over to you.
I'll recommend the new cinematic Titanic release, Frankenstein's Castle of Freaks, just because.
Oh, bastard, I was going to do that.
Aha, uh-huh, now you're going to have to come with something new very quickly because I'm done recommending it.
Fine. Yes, cinematic Titanic, Frankenstein's Castle of Freaks, it's excellent. I will second that recommendation, but I'll also point out that we've got the Graveyard Book, audiobook, performed by Neil Gaiman. And they have re-released the Coraline audiobook because of the film coming out, also performed by Neil Gaiman. And Neil Gaiman reading his own stuff is a wonderful thing. So there you go.
Rox, what was that?
I just said yay.
Oh, well, be more enthusiastic and closer to the mic.
Yay!
Are you?
Yay!
Okay, what was that? That was like some kind of creepy doll.
Yay! Those are the gnomes that live in
Let me guess. You just got triggered onto the Jonathan Colton song in your head, didn't you?
John? I did.
John, are you singing in tongues right now?
What's it called?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
It's like, you know what it is, Ken? It's like Rubber Biscuit from the Chips performed in Polish or something.
It's like some kind of sad, demonic, melodic liturgy that he's performing.
It's like an emo band covering the Cocteau Twins.
By the way, there's your new band name.
Hey, obscure musical reference.
Which is demonic mnemonic.
Hey, I like that.
Oh, man. I might register that, too. Hold on.
Hey, you saw I gave you a chance to grab that other band name, John.
And I did.
Okay, awesome.
I already have plans.
Good. Send it to me when you're done. You'll be the first one to actually take us up on it.
We're not going to have John being our engineer next week. We're just going to hear from his wife that he's left. A little bindle with a book of monologues in it and a dream.
Jesus.
That will slowly turn into a nightmare.
Just like this podcast.
And we'll see John panhandling on Sunset Boulevard.
His face smothered in grease paint.
No, that'll be 95.
No, that won't be grease paint. That's a tragedy.
We're talking about his dream, not yours.
I don't know what is in his dream.
Ah, Bukkake.
Which I believe is a band name.
I'm sure it's already taken. I don't even have to look that one up. Partly because I'd be afraid of what, you know, Google would bring me.
You're not afraid of what Google brings you with my stuff?
What?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. I know.
Yeah,
okay. Sorry.
I'd just like to point out.
No, unfortunately, it did make sense. That's what I'm worried about.
I know. I'd just like to point out that I don't Google for Scott's stuff, okay?
And Scott, there's a little thing we keep trying to tell you about. It's called thought before speech.
There's
I'm
a reason why.
I'm trying to be rapid fire here. It's not easy.
Scott,
it is
I do
for
have
us.
My safe search is on for my Google for a reason.
Because the court ordered it.
Well, yeah.
What's the other reason?
The other reason is to protect me. Now, you know, my virgin eyes.
I hope at some point your eyes are far from virgin. At what point are you going to stop this thing?
I think we should stop it right about now. I think now is the time when we should all say goodbye. Goodbye.
Okay, does this mean we all pretend to say goodbye? Scott hangs up and we do the real podcast?
Yes. Goodbye. Okay.
Bye.
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 John, did you drop him?
No, he's still there.
Oh, yeah.
You have to work on your timing there.
Drop him now. My timing was fine. It was John's timing that was off.
Yeah, you blame the engineer.
Drop him, John. Drop him, John. Drop him, John. Drop him. Bye, Scott.
Not put.
Bye, Scott. Drop him, John.
Actually, before he goes, I want to try something here.
Not the first time he's heard that.
That sounds ominous. Whose dream are we pursuing now?
That's not gonna work.
In the greatest role of all.
All right, what were you trying to do, John?
The greatest role of all.
John, what were you trying to do?
Nothing. I was trying to see if the video would work in the conference with a new version of Skype, but apparently not.
Yay.
No one needs to see video of us.
Okay, now can you drop Scott?
I'm not in charge of the show.
Well, the show's over, so
drop Scott.
Just go home.
Bye, Scott.
Go home, everyone. Go home.
No, you go. You hang up first, John. You hang up first, Ken.
No, you hang up.
You hang up. You hang up.
And then call me.
Yeah, Scott, hang up. Hang up, Scott. Yeah, you heard everyone. Hang up.
I'll hang up if you hang up.
I'll hang up when Ken hangs up.
Don't forget, Rox is also the Black Widow of the podcast, so when she says something like that, guaranteed you're going first, and she's going to be around after you're gone.
Yeah.
No.
Rox is not.
Uh-uh.
I believe John's having technical difficulties, and we'll have to disconnect Scott. Maybe John will take a hint now and drop Scott.
I think I'm going to go so that you maniacs can do whatever it is you want to do.
You will stay put.
I will do no such thing. You can torture Scott on your own time.
Drop him, John.
I'm torn.
I'm torn
between trying to be the nice guy and the evil guy.
Yes. Be the evil guy, of course.
Wait a minute. The problem is Ken's the evil guy, so you could provide a dramatic foil to the evil guy.
Fuck that shit. Drop him.
Yet another.
That's the problem.
Drop him.
I'll be gracious. I'll leave. Bye-bye.
Nonsense.
Bye, Rox.
Bye.
Goodbye, Ken.
Goodbye, Scott. Drop him.
Come away.
Okay. I'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Drop him, John. I'll give you riches. Thank you. Now, podcast proper. Let's get this shit rolling.
Should we call Rox again?
Yes, by all means. And Rob. And Tuffley. And Kim.
And Doc.
Let the party begin.
Now we know
it takes an hour and 45 to get rid of him.
Let it begin!
God damn it, Widge.
What'd
I
do now?
Why do you invite him anymore? At least tell him in the future to make some prepared statements.
Do you think that would help?
Maybe he can pre-record his part and we'll just have John cue it so it actually seems like he's in the moment.
What, John, what you could do is you could put it on a sampler and you could just hit the keys of the keyboard as he's supposed to be responding to things.
Yeah, so it's like, isn't that right, Scott? Uh-huh, 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 right, uh-huh, uh-huh, Dick, uh-huh, right.
Sure.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, this thing. You're actually going to be able to multitask the Scott C. soundboard to the Unique Geek podcast.
I really wish I could figure out the fire there. I'm sorry.
John, you torn your marriage apart?
John is still looking up musicals that he was in.
Yes.
Trust me, I know how that goes. You go, wow.
Well, you know, I got on, you know, on Facebook, they had all my theater friends have found me. So it's been bringing all
wow.
this
that's,
crap
that's how
up.
It starts.
Yeah, I know.
Next thing you know, it's let's put on a show.
Well, they've gone to the reunion part first.
Uh-oh.
Let's have a reunion. Then
now, you know, you don't have to actually, you know, respond to any of that.
Is that the request where they go, if you have a spouse, don't bother coming?
Probably. Probably. Yeah. Well, that's where it was like, you know, you kid Dana about the key parties, but that's not too far off from art school.
Except you had no cars.
Except you had no cars, exactly.
You had to borrow someone's keys.
It was exchanging the keys to your dorm rooms.
It was scripts, really. Just threw a bunch of scripts, monologues, and you took the monologues out of the book.
Is this some kind of euphemism? Isn't it? We exchanged scripts.
Yeah.
We did each other's parts.
Yeah.
What have we done?
It's weird.
I think we broke John.
I think we did. I didn't mean to.
This is odd. Odd evening.
Someone's going to be singing alone tonight.
This is less strange than your, well, it's more strange than your video experiment.
Oh, it is, because I can't see you doing anything else but sitting in a room with all your tech equipment and an open microphone crying. Memories. Like the quarters of my mind.
All alone in the moon. Oh, shit, I'm confusing him again!
Misty watercolor.
Memories.
Of the way we were. Of the way I was.
Next words.
Love.
Scattered
exciting
pictures.
And new.
Come aboard.
We're expecting you.
And
John's sad life. Soon he'll be making a second go. John's sad life.
Da, 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 da.
What could it have been? He'll never know.
Set a course for
your adventure.
Mediocrity. Your mind on a second chance.
Da, 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 da.
And love.
Exciting.
Well, it won't hurt anymore. Is it sad that I actually know where the song goes?
A little bit.
Yes.
Written by Paul Williams.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
John's just ignoring us and looking up musical after musical.
It is very sad that way.
Love and it all comes back to you. You're still looking up music, aren't you?
No.
What are you looking up? Admit it.
I can't see through the tears in my eyes.
Is that the monologue you're working on?
That's the monologue I'm working on.
That's the new first single from his new emo band.
Well, it must
audio moil.
Which is
so
fucking
many
awesome.
Raindrops. It feels like raindrops falling from my eyes.
You know, audio moil plays only for the tips.
Falling from my eyes.
Oh, but most of the best part of their first album wound up on the cutting room floor.
Well, I'm the head of the band, so you know.
Oh, come on.
I'm sure they gave you the shaft, though.
Oh, we all had a ball.
Oh. Well, you know, different strokes.
Yeah. We shaved a couple of members off, but, you know.
Now you've worked up to being a three-hander.
Did you bring Scott in?
Or the horse with a hand?
Yes. The horse with a hand, which I believe is the name of his one-man show.
I thought it was No Skin Off My Teeth.
Oh.
I've done that show, actually.
You've done more than that show.
I know.
All right, gentlemen, I got to go to bed.
All right.
You know, if you were in the theater, you wouldn't be keeping these early hours.
What is your sleeping hours like there, Ken?
Sleep? What?
Yeah. Ken, sleep?
I thought.
He just takes speed all the time.
No, you have to sleep at some point, because I do see there's gaps in your messaging on Twitter.
I say there's gaps on your messaging on Twitter. Oh, good. Well, I just wanted to make sure that this was a record-breaking Weekend Justice, and I think we've accomplished that.
We've broken something, all right.
Oh, God.
John and his belief in himself and his current life.
So, next, Ken, Australia.
Onward, Miss Tessmacher.
Miss Tessmacher!
Otisburg.
Otisburg?
Otisburg. Favorite line in the movie ever.
Ever.
Just because no one else would choose it. So now we playing Goodbye Chicken, or we're just going to hang up on the count of three?
I figure we hang up on the count of three.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.